and Gunashtish for being here with us today. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. When a family member suffers a mental health condition, it's never really easy to help. There are a maze of organizations to navigate, and advice that you can trust is often hard to come by, and really, there's never a one-size-fits-all solution, which makes it even more challenging. But NAMI Juno is hoping to change all of that with their new family-to-family series of classes. And joining us today to help get the word about this program and how it could give some families an important helping hand that they've probably been searching for, we have Aaron Surma. He's executive director of NAMI Juno. And we also have Bonnie Cheney, and she is a NAMI Juno volunteer, and both have had personal experiences in dealing with mental health issues. And maybe, Aaron, could you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? Because I was reading that you've had personal challenges and have been able to overcome them. And I think that that's something that families need to hear, that things can get better.
Yeah, happy to, and thanks for having us. For the past 23 years, since I was a teenager, I've done a variety of different things to help address my mental health. You know, at my worst, I was suicidal and hospitalized for it. And through combinations of individual treatment, group treatment, medications, support groups, and other like informal things, and just like understanding how I work and how I best exist in the world, I feel like I've gone through a whole arc of how I engage with my mental health.
And I think that that's so important for people that have somebody that actually understands what they're going through, because a lot of times, you know, the general public at large, unless they've experienced it in their own family or had an issue themselves, they just don't know, you know, just the varied ramifications and problems. And Bonnie, I want to ask you about your experience with the mental health system. You're a NAMI Juno volunteer.
So I came to NAMI, it was either 2009, 2010, when our son was diagnosed with clinical depression, generalized anxiety disorder, social phobia. So as a parent, I was lost. I didn't know where to turn to for help. It was a very confusing time. And I took the NAMI family to family class, which helped me immensely. And since then, I've become, I feel almost like a crusader for helping other people understand what's going on when a loved one is dealing with a mental health crisis, because you don't know where to go and you don't know who to turn to. And then you're dealing with the stigma of mental illness. And that makes it a lot harder for people to seek out help.
Well, that's what's kind of intriguing about this family-to-family program, Aaron, is that the team that's teaching this series of workshops actually has personal experience with chronic mental illness. And so how does that really make a difference and get people the kind of information they need?
Yeah, and so everything that we do is centered around the idea of peer support, and that, like you're saying, you know, those who have lived experience with the thing are in a uniquely helpful place to provide support to others. And so family to family is no different, where it's family members of a loved one who has had some kind of hardship related to mental health. And, you know, those family members are talking about how they were supportive, are talking to a new group of people who are maybe newer to this topic. And, you know, we hear a lot of feedback about why folks enjoy our programming or what they get from it. But the most consistent sentence that I've heard stated from people who attend our support groups or classes is that it was such a relief or so reassuring to know that they weren't the only people dealing with that problem. Like, there is such a stigma around mental health and mental illness that general population doesn't always feel comfortable talking about this, which results in a lot of folks incorrectly feeling like they're alone in the world in their experience, either supporting a loved one or supporting themselves in relation to mental health and mental illness.
You know, it is in some ways, it's maybe not the best of analogies, but, you know, when you're about to lose a family member, you know, maybe about the time that they go into hospice or their time is near, we have had nothing to prepare us on how to help our loved one make that transition. And in some ways, I think that's true about mental health because we don't talk about it. And we don't know all the different things that can happen or even how to talk with someone with certain mental health problems because in many cases, you can be trying to help and escalate, I imagine. So these are things that this workshop apparently is going to address is the things that we just never talk about but probably need to.
Aaron? Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I'm one of the teachers for the family-to-family class, and I want to also emphasize that we don't restrict it to family, you know, because sometimes your friends are closer to you than your family. So we have lots of friends that come to the family-to-family class, and I'm going to put a little plug in for tonight. We're doing something called a family and friends seminar. It's a two-hour session where we do a very high level overview of what we're going to talk about in the family to family class. So if people are interested, they can attend that tonight and get an idea of what we'll talk about in the family to family class.
So what are some of the things that people don't know about that they're surprised to find out when they have people like yourself to talk with them? Volunteers like yourself that have been there, done that?
I think one that Aaron already mentioned is that they're not alone. You know, there's lots of people out there, they're struggling with them. And that I think hope, there is hope, because when you're especially in the beginning stages, you feel like it's all crisis and you can't see that things will get better, and they can. I mean, our son was like, I mean, he's been, you know, getting treatment of some sort for 12 years now, but he's living on his own. He's got a job. He's supporting himself. He's gone through college. And 12 years ago, I did not think that was possible. So I think that hope piece is really important. And we cover so much in these classes, so it's hard to, you know, give a true synopsis, but, you know, you learn how to communicate. Because sometimes it's very hard to communicate with your loved one or when they're dealing with a mental health issue.
Well, talk to me a little bit about that, Bonnie, because it seems like sometimes, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, they're dealing with a family member that has a mental health problem and they don't admit it. And when you try to talk with them about things that they're saying and doing that are not healthy or normal, you know, they'll have none of it. And it seems like it's so difficult to communicate. What are some of the things that you will teach people in how to bridge that?
So some of this people may have heard of, but we talk about I statements versus you statements. You know, you don't tell people you should do this, you should do that, because a lot of times that makes people feel defensive. So you're trying to open up the lines of communication. Another thing we use is something called reflective responses, is where basically you're just kind of repeating back to them, say, well, I'm tired of going to see that psychiatrist because he just asked me weird questions. You can say, oh, it sounds like you're frustrated with this psychiatrist. That can be very annoying. People ask me a lot of questions. So you're not arguing with them. You're just hearing them. They're being heard. And that's really important for somebody dealing with a mental health issue. And it's something that's very learned, you know, it's not natural for us. So those are some things that we try to cover in the class. We go into like medications. So there's a lot that I didn't know, and I've been learning since day one. And it's been really, really helpful. So hopefully that answered your question.
I think you really spoke to some of the things that we don't know, like maybe just repeating back what somebody says to you might be a way to de-escalate or to calm somebody down. And I imagine that you become very skillful at it if, you know, if you're dealing with someone who has this type of illness. But the other thing, too, is the medications can help in some ways but cause other problems. And you often hear of people, like, for example, with bipolar issues having problems once they go off their meds because they just don't like the way it makes them feel. And so there are all kinds of challenges. How does that education about the pharmaceuticals involved in treating mental health issues, how important is that?
It's very important. And, you know, to the point you were just talking about, people will go off their medications because they hate the side effects. And it's very difficult to make somebody take medication. So one of the things we help people understand is that they cannot solve all problems. You know, you can be there, you can be supportive, but you can't force an individual to do something that they absolutely refuse to do. So a lot of what we try to tell people is that you do the best you can, you support the individual, but you may not be able to make them do what you think is best for them. And part of this is just accepting what is happening in your life, in their life.
Well, when you hear people that have been through the mental health system sometimes testify at state hearings, you wonder, boy, they have been through hell and back, it sounds like, sometimes. They're very frustrated in their dealings with the system. And it sounds like a lot of what happens to them when they're having an episode can either help or hinder them if they have a really bad experience engaging with the system or with people who are trying to help them. It can make things much worse. What do you think about that, Aaron? Do you hear a lot of stories about this very fragile time period where everything you do does make a big difference?
Yeah, and I think it's people feeling aware and informed and having a voice in the type of care they receive and the amount of care they receive and where they receive it and understanding the purpose. So, like, to give one small example of that, your question about medication, and this is something that we do in our peer classes, you know, for people who are addressing their own mental health, is talk about, like, realistic expectations for medication. Like, in my personal experience, antidepressants have never just given me, like, this perfectly happy existence, but I did eventually find one that was helpful in preventing me from feeling particularly crummy for no reason, you know, like, just it raised the floor of my mood. And, like, that's great. Like, that's a nice expectation to have. And to bring that back to the level of question that you're asking, you know, people having expectations about what can be available if you go to the emergency room in a psychiatric emergency, or asking friends for help, or intensive outpatient services, or residential care, whatever it is, understanding the process, understanding the people involved in the care or the system or the place and the intent of it. And then eventually, like, having buy-in, you know, the person, the individual who is struggling with their own mental health, say, like, yes, I want that service, can make a situation that could be fraught much more likely to be successful.
And that's the key, is something that could be fraught can turn out successful. And just another thing, too, that this is a series of classes, right? It's not like a one-shot deal. It sounds like it's a relationship-building effort with families.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have the one-time presentation tonight, 6 to 8 p.m., and that's on our website, namijuno.org. But then the family-to-family class is 8 weeks long, or 8 sessions, rather, over 4 weeks. And, yeah, it's the idea, you know, above and beyond just giving folks good information, is having a little group of folks who support one another as they help their loved ones. So building a sense of community within community, because community is always helpful and relevant.
So this begins April 12th and is on Tuesdays and Thursday nights from 6 to 8:30 p.m. And dinner is provided free.
Absolutely. And folks can register at namijuno.org. You can see all our different classes and support groups on that website. Sign up info.
Is there a charge for the classes as well?
nothing we do has costs. And so that's like one way to think about our services and how it's different from a community mental health provider like JAMI or Search Behavioral Health. You know, like the idea is that our stuff is free, that it's peer led, that there's a low barrier to entry. You know, you don't have to go through an intake process. We provide a different service than formal providers. I think that often they're very complementary, but that like, those are some of the differences. So it's like sometimes formal stuff is more helpful to someone, sometimes less formal, like what we do is more helpful to an individual.
Well, I suppose that there are different paths. Yes, Bonnie, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to add is that you don't need to have an official diagnosis. So if you just feel like something weird is going on with a family member and you think maybe it's a mental health issue, please come. They don't have to have a diagnosis for you to be there.
You know, the other thing too is I imagine it's pretty stressful for family members. I'm hearing you talk about how many years you dealt with your son. Is that important for families to kind of take care of themselves in the midst of this?
Absolutely. And we do talk about self-care in the class and how important that is, because you can't care for somebody else if you don't care for yourself. And we do some exercises about stress reduction and other ways you can care for yourself.
So you've been through this. How did it make a difference for you? How much of a difference?
How much of a difference? Well, I've been volunteering with NAMI now for over 10 years in various capacities. I mean, I'm a board member. I am a support group facilitator. I teach family to family. I teach NAMI Basics, which is another class we teach if you have a child that's living with mental health issues. And I just became a state trainer for facilitators. So it's, I just feel like it's so important to help other people when they're dealing with mental health crises in their family, that it's my big volunteer thing that I do.
Well, I imagine that probably that first NAMI workshop maybe set you on this path.
I'd say so.
So who knows, you know, what comes of it when you get a group of people together. And do you have ongoing relationships with some of the people that you've worked with over the years? And what do you hear from them?
Oh, gosh. Well, I have some people. I have this hiking group that I do every Wednesday. And some of those people, they talk like today. You know, I had people talking to me about issues in their families, you know, just because they know what I do. So I'm not sure if I have any ongoing relationships with people that have been through the classes, but definitely people recognize me as someone in the community that has been a longtime volunteer with NAMI, and sometimes they'll ask me for advice.
So if
I steer them towards NAMI.
Well, that's a good thing. And of course, NAMI has chapters all over the country. So wherever you go, you can find that circle of support. But before we go, I want to ask each of you one thing. And Bonnie, if you could change one thing about what the general public knows about chronic mental health conditions, what would that be?
That would absolutely be to remove the stigma. You know, if somebody's got cancer, you talk about it. You know, everybody rallies around you to help you get through it. If you've got a mental health condition or somebody in your family has one, frequently it's met with silence because people don't know what to say, what to do. And sometimes, you know, they feel like they're going to say the wrong thing. So I think educating people to get rid of that stigma is probably the biggest thing I would love to see.
How about you, Aaron?
Bonnie, I can't believe you just had that off the cuff. That was well done. Man, I'm so glad you asked Bonnie first. I think it's that folks can use their experience addressing their own mental health and speak about it from a place of strength as opposed to shame, which is very similar to what Bonnie's saying. And I think it comes from a place of shame because of the stigma and because of the difficulty in accessing services and care. And when people can't speak about it from a place of strength, I think it changes their whole outlook on their existence in the world. And I think that's a really special thing for someone who has previously struggled.
Wow, Aaron, that came off the top of your head. That's a good thing to remember, to come from a problem from a place of strength. That's kind of good advice overall, don't you think?
Hopefully.
All right. Well, we are out of time, but I do want to thank both of you for being here today to tell us about a program that could be a lifeline for some families. So I hope that people in the community will spread the word about it. We have Aaron Surma with us. He's executive director of NAMI Juno, and Bonnie Cheney, and she's a longtime NAMI Juno volunteer. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Next, are you curious about what's inside the cover of the next edition of Tidal Echoes? Well, stick around. And just a reminder that this week is our spring on-air membership drive. We are raising funds that support everything that you get from KTOO each and every day. And so if you want to help us out, and of course, you know, one of the things you're getting is the program you're listening to right now. But if you want to help us out, you can make a contribution on our website at ktoo.org. And that always gives us encouragement when we get your support to do what we do. And we love what we do. Gunashchish.